This is Fresh Air. My guest Laith Kuba is an Iraqi exile who bitterly opposed the war in the Gulf, which began a year ago today. But like many Iraqi exiles, he hoped that the war would at least succeed in removing Saddam Hussein from power and opening the way for reform. Kuba is one of the many exiles who is now working to do what the war failed to do, remove Saddam and begin efforts towards democracy. Kuba heads a small group of exiled intellectuals and activists called the Democratic Reform Movement, based in London. We spoke with him last year during the war. We wanted to check back with him to find out what the opposition movement has been doing. I asked him if he was disappointed with how the Americans ended the war.
Yes, I think I spoke against the war at that time. But when the war took place, I think like many, many Iraqis who told us, they saw some hope that at the end of this dark moment in their lives, at least they will come out with a different regime and not seeing Saddam's face again. And the worst, worst nightmare that took place is that the country was destroyed, the people suffered to such extent, and Saddam Hussein remained in power. I would have thought politicians should have seen that by then and would have taken the opportunity of either supporting the uprising or incriminating Saddam for what he did and demanding that he should be brought into trial as a war criminal. But none of that took place, and I think an opportunity was missed. So I think, yes, it was disappointing to us who are abroad, but to Iraqis inside, it was more than disappointing. I think they've lost heart.
You have family in Iraq. Have you been able to communicate with them recently?
I was not myself able to communicate directly with them, but other members of my family who are in the States and in Britain managed to talk to them. And basically, we just made sure that every person is still alive and there has not been a loss of life.
You say you haven't been able to speak directly with your family. Is that because of the phone lines or is that because of fear of Saddam Hussein?
I think it's the element of fear on both. I do not want to implement them in any trouble, and I think they are wise enough not to talk to me directly on that.
Because they could be punished for being in touch with you?
Or very much so, yes. I mean, we both understand very well that if I attempt to get in touch with them, then I'll jeopardize their position. And if they attempt to get in touch with me, then they will be in trouble. I have taken a clear political profile and spoke publicly and will continue to do so. I have committed myself to this issue, and of course I do not want to jeopardize other people's life, including my family, on this matter.
Are you using a pseudonym or the family name?
No, I am using my real name, but as I said, I have taken a stand on this issue. I can expect the worst. But I think I'm wise enough not to create unnecessary harm to members of my family.
You're the head of a Democratic Reform group that's an opposition group. You're living in exile in England. How has your group been changed since the end of the war?
Well, I must mention that the whole fabric of the opposition changed radically. So what we saw after the war, and in particular after the uprising, that many, many segments of the whole of the population had become an opposition. So it's no longer can be put to smaller groups, political groups or social groups. It's very much now a phenomena throughout Iraq. We had many recruits from different backgrounds. We have many, many people now who are participating in opposition meetings and coordinating efforts. Some of them were army officers who were up to the day of the uprising were inside Iraq. Some of them even were members of so-called National Assembly inside Iraq who fled Iraq after the uprising. So we are seeing a different input of people inside the opposition. And of course, this had put us in touch with them. It put them in touch with us. And we believe it's a different atmosphere where the opposition is operating at the moment.
My guest is Iraqi exile Laith Kuba. More after the short break. This is Fresh Air. My guest Laith Kuba is an Iraqi exile living in London. He heads a small opposition group of Iraqi intellectuals and activists called the Democratic Reform Movement. Just a few weeks ago, there was a meeting of Iraqi opposition forces in exile. The meeting was held in Damascus, Syria. And at the meeting, they called for the creation of a committee to undertake the task of Saddam's removal from power and to prepare for a democratic government. What do you think this committee could do, and what kind of international support is it asking for?
Well, I think initially we are hoping that the conference will produce several committees, although the word committee was mentioned. But in reality, we are looking at professional Iraqis from all disciplines to come together to undertake the responsibility of Iraqi affairs that are now scattered everywhere. You see, the important point is that Iraqis today have no government to look after them. The government of Saddam Hussein is looking after one simple issue, and that is how to stay in power. It pays no regard to what's happening in the north to the Kurds. It pays no regard to what's happening in the south of Iraq. It pays no regard to Iraq's reputation, the Iraqis who are in exile. And so, ironically, that Saddam Hussein has announced the next 40 days as days of celebration for his victory in the war. Now, the reason he's putting it to the Iraqis is that the whole purpose of the war was to get me out of power, and they failed. I succeeded in power, so you Iraqis must celebrate. So against that background, we are calling upon all Iraqis, professionals from all disciplines, to come and form committees. For example, we are coordinating with the Iraqi army officers to coordinate with political parties who have militias, armed militias, to form coordinating committees so that there'll be no chaos in future Iraq, and they should play a role in overthrowing Saddam Hussein.
Did you attend the Iraqi opposition meeting?
I myself did not attend the Damascus meeting, but I was very much in touch, and at the moment I am involved in the committee working and preparing for that conference.
I see. Can you explain how you see your role now as a dissident in exile? What you see your role as being in trying to overthrow Saddam?
Well, what we have identified as the main objective in the weeks to come is to establish this National Assembly for Iraqis who are abroad. That National Assembly should win the trust of all Iraqis, and it should deal with the issues related to Iraq and with governments and with the international community, which has dealings with Iraq at the moment. We believe that unless the world sees Iraqis very clearly, who are credible, who have a sound political message, and who are responsible based on the soil of Iraq, then we can initiate a process of change. You see, the issue of Iraq is no longer to do with Iraqis alone. Iraq under Saddam Hussein had caused two major wars in the region. It has brought the armies of more than 30 countries to get involved in that process. And I think many countries in the region fear the future so long as Saddam Hussein in power. So there is actually a mutual interest for all parties to talk to us and deal with us on these issues.
A Shiite Muslim cleric who convened the opposition meeting was quoted as saying, "All elements are available in Iraq for detonating a revolt. What is needed is the trigger." Do you think that's true? And if so, what do you think the trigger might be?
I think that the institutions inside Iraq, say, for example, the army, is very much now against Saddam Hussein, except it has no opportunity to move. The population inside Iraq are very much against Saddam Hussein, but they will not risk an uprising unless they can see this part of a comprehensive program to overthrow the government of Saddam Hussein. I think they look to us, we who are abroad, to do on their behalf a lot of dealing with governments to ensure that an Iraqi uprising should yield result. That, for example, if the army moves, it should get the necessary assistance that it needs. And that the whole country will act in a unified way rather than seeing the country disintegrating. So our role is to provide that element of assurance. Our political message must come loud and clear, and we must present credible people for the world, both outside Iraq and inside Iraq.
You know, there have been rumors that the Bush administration is considering bombing Iraq to try to force Saddam Hussein out of power or perhaps even assassinate him. As I say these, you know, I can't vouch for the truth of that, but is that something you'd support?
What we would support, what we would welcome, is any will from the United States, from Europe, from Arab countries, from neighboring countries to Iraq. If there is a will to get rid of Saddam Hussein, then we would welcome that will, and we would like to see it incorporated as part of Iraqi politics. We do not believe that sending airplanes or bombings or war against Iraq will necessarily topple Saddam Hussein. We always argued in the past that the only way to topple Saddam Hussein is to work with the Iraqis inside Iraq, with the Iraqi forces. Saddam Hussein is not popular. He is not wanted by Shias, Kurds, Sunnis, Christians, Muslims, all different segments of Iraq. They would like to see an end to Saddam Hussein. Now, these are real forces on the ground. They must be encouraged, supported, and I think any will must be part of that program.
Do you think even if Saddam Hussein was assassinated, there'd be his right-hand man ready and willing to take over and still rule with an iron hand?
Well, we'll be pleased to hear that Saddam Hussein is assassinated. I think this will weaken the regime tremendously, and it will provide better opportunities and easier opportunities for change. But as I said, I do not believe that the problems of Iraq will be removed simply by removing the person of Saddam Hussein and preserving everything else. I think we must see real reform taking place in the country, and this real reform cannot start so long as Saddam Hussein is in power. So yes, the first thing, Saddam Hussein must be removed, and I think everybody will cooperate and integrate with a process of change and reform in the country.
Do you think that life in Iraq is more repressive today than it was before the war?
Well, to give you an indication of how things are in Iraq at the moment, it was only last month when the son, the eldest son of Saddam Hussein, had publicly demanded that the government goes back to public hanging and public executions to deter the population. He claims that there is such a high level of crime in the country that public hanging must be introduced. Today, I heard that the government has passed actually a decree, a law, that car theft will be punishable by death. Now, this gives you an indication of the level of law and order in the country and what response the population is getting. Now, if a car theft is punishable by death, you can imagine what a political threat would receive. So this is an indication of how things are in the country. I think the only part of Iraq which is exercising a level of freedom is north of Iraq under the Kurds. And although there is a lot of hardship, but a lot of people tell us who've been inside Iraq and outside Iraq that they are enjoying every bit of it and every bit of freedom that exists there at the moment.
My guest is Laith Kuba, an Iraqi exile living in London. He heads a small opposition group of Iraqi intellectuals and activists called the Democratic Reform Movement. More after the short break. This is Fresh Air. If you're just joining us, my guest is Laith Kuba, and he's an Iraqi dissident living in exile in London, and he is part of the opposition movement. Do you think that Iraq's neighboring countries are trying to play a role in the opposition movement or in helping or in hurting the opposition movement?
I think neighboring countries have their own agendas towards Iraq for a variety of reasons. Some of their agendas are legitimate, and some of them are not. I think it is legitimate to see that the future government in Iraq must not pose a threat to them as it did in the past. This is very legitimate. It is legitimate to see that some of their concerns, for example, that the Shia heritage in Iraq should be protected. This is very much a concern to Iran, that the Sunni Muslim minority in Iraq must not be responsible for what Saddam Hussein did. And this is a legitimate right, and I'm sure Saudi Arabia is looking at that. And that the Kurds in North Iraq must not be repressed, and this is what the Turkish government was concerned about. These are legitimate rights. What is not legitimate is for these governments to intervene and dictate and influence Iraqi opposition groups. Now, we are aware that some of the opposition have been hosted and financed by these governments for quite some time. We hope that this will not compromise their independent will to work for Iraq and to see eventually that Iraq will be independent, stable, and strong and peaceful. So I think there is a legitimate concern that neighboring countries have agendas and might influence some of the Iraqi opposition groups.
What happens if Saddam Hussein stays in power another year? Do you think that that might happen? And what do you think the consequences would be?
Well, I believe that a year is too long, because even if Saddam Hussein is not removed from power now, I believe that society and the state will collapse inside Iraq. It is at the moment heading towards a cliff, and the contradictions within Iraq has reached its peak. So I believe if Saddam Hussein can hang on to power, he'll bring the whole of Iraq and its society down with him, and Iraq will eventually disintegrate. The sooner Saddam Hussein goes out of power, the easier or the less difficult it'll be to preserve the unity of Iraq and to build a stable and prosperous future for it. Otherwise, the longer Saddam Hussein stays in power, I think the more it's likely that Iraq will collapse and disintegrate.
Are you considering returning to Iraq, and what would it take for you to return?
Well, I like very much to go back to Iraq. I think all Iraqis who lived in exile for such a long time from various professions will have a responsibility put on their shoulder to go back and assist in building or rebuilding the country. I think our people are so much hurt and wounded, they will need all the help they can from their fellow citizens who are abroad. Of course, nobody has an illusion that they will walk into a country, or from those who are in the political circles, I hope they will not have the illusion that they can walk into power, because the real issue is not of power anymore. It is how to rebuild Iraq and create stability. And I believe that Iraqis everywhere have an obligation to do so, and the people of Iraq will need them. And I hope I will be of an assistance to my country.
If I remember correctly, you're an engineer?
I am a civil engineer by profession, yes.
So you could literally help rebuild Iraq.
I will very much like to help, and I want to ensure that the buildings that we're going to Iraq will not be demolished by any future wars.
If I recall correctly, when we spoke during the war, you were not very afraid of being under attack by Saddam Hussein, because you figured he had a lot bigger fish to fry. I mean, with the war going on, you figured you could speak out safely without worrying about it. Now, a year after the start of the war's been over for many months, do you still feel as confident about speaking out?
No, I don't. But I think once I've committed myself into this, I think the only thing I can do is to continue. I think what many of us fear is that as we progress in our political work, and possibly as Saddam Hussein starts retreating from power, I think he'll resort to assassinations. And this will be his easiest way to hit back at the opposition. Of course, this might delay and weaken the opposition, but I do not think it'll stop its course. But the answer is yes, I do have more concern about my security now than I did a year ago.
Well, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Well, I thank you for giving us the opportunity again, and we hope to meet at some stage.
Leith Kuba is an Iraqi exile based in London, where he heads the opposition group, the Democratic Reform Movement. He spoke to us from the NPR Bureau in London.